bulging above and below the socket. The flesh was so puffy that the eye had swollen shut. The woman who was cleaning him had clucked sympathetically at the sight, shaking her head at the deep purple bruises that mottled the boy's upper body.
Oh, poor chicken. Lucky to be living.
How was I saved?
Someone off your shift dug you out, then a shit-eating guard clubbed him down.
Where is he now?
In the river, like as not. Though I believe someone said he was took and chained up for the Ruski to see him.
The Ruski see me?
Only for a moment, Chucky. But he might come back any time, so we'd best fix you as good as possible. Got some black cloth here. Make you a patch for that left eye of yours. Like that?
The boy smiled.
Yeah. Be double good.
Ryan wondered whether his skull might have been fractured. It ached, and every time he tried to move, a ferocious stab of fire raced in his skull and injected acid along his spine. He was furious at himself, disgusted at his own futile, destructive anger. Once he'd plucked Dean from the swamping mass of yellow mud, he should have slipped quickly away, ready to try to carry out the rescue on some other, safer day. But he'd allowed the choking mist of rage to fill his brain, and now he was a helpless prisoner. At least Dean was safe. One of the Sekhmen had been kind enough to tell him that. It had been the same guard who told them that Zemyanyan had asked for him to be held safely. Ryan didn't know where Kate was, or what she might be trying to do to help, or whether there was anything at all that she could do to help. Kate's Undercover 38 was buried in the middle of her straw mattress. The best plan she'd been able to think up meant that the blaster wouldn't be much use, and would certainly get discovered. It was the middle of the evening when the slim young woman crept from her hut and picked her way through the drifts of fresh snow, moving quietly toward the part of the complex where both Ryan Cawder and his son were being held. Zemyanyan paused halfway down the trembling ladder. The opening to the tunnel above him was ringed with the anxious faces of a group of his Sekhmen. He smiled at them.
I trust the water is not too inclement to facilitate bathing.
The circle of pale watchers vanished. He carried on down to the bottom, standing with one hand on the ladder, ready to move fast, sniffing the cold damp air. The danger was there. The Russian could almost taste it. All around him, the sides of the shaft seemed to be flowing, the earth like sticky honey, slow moving. He could hear water running, somewhere farther down the passage. His boots were covered in rippling slime, almost to his knees. He looked up.
Attention!
The faces of a couple of his Sekhmen reappeared.
Buckets and ropes! He must be drained first. Then send the older man from the day shift down here to dig it clear. Shoot the first one who draws back and hesitates. And the second, and the third. In time, you will find the man who will be content to dig rather than die.
As he began the wearisome climb up to the fresh air and the falling snow, Grigory Zemyanyan was conscious of an overwhelming need to possess a woman. He'd only felt that way once before, with a married woman, no less, and later was forced to chain her husband up in a cell somewhere when the distraught fellow tried to fight back. He wondered if that man had died yet. Well, no matter. First, he might revisit the young boy who'd been injured and the man who'd been beaten after he'd rescued him. Then he'd find a woman. When lust came to the powerful Russian, it became almost impossible to resist. Kate had found a guard who'd promised to let her in to see the prisoner. All she had to do was be nice to him for a few minutes.
Then you'll let me see him?
He your husband, or what?
Sort of.
Come around back here, out of sight of the rust.
She followed him, hunching her shoulders against the fine, driven snow. The Sekhman stopped in an alcove that had once been a side door, but was now barred off. He beckoned to her.
On your knees.
What? Don't you want to go somewhere inside so we can do it properly?
Just get down and get it out for me. Open your mouth and stop talking. Quick!
His fingers left a flaring, livid mark on her skin. She cupped her hand inside his trousers, squeezing gently, trying to make it end more quickly. But he held back, thrusting between her frozen lips, almost choking her. When it was finally over, Kate attempted to pull away, but he grabbed her by the back of her neck, pressing her against him, so that her senses were swamped with the rancid smell and bitter taste of his sweating body. She stood up, gagging, as the guard zipped himself and pushed her aside, before taking up his position again. She stooped and took a mouthful of the clean white snow.
Can I go in now?
No.
What?
I said no, didn't I? Just fuck off, or I'll cut your throat.
But you promised.
Yeah, I did, didn't I? So what? Changed my mind. Tell you what.
What?
Some of my buds might like you to do this for them. Later tonight, you come around again and get that little tongue and lips ready. And then I'll definitely take you in to see that one-eyed bastard.
Kate half turned away, then suddenly changed her mind, putting on a slack-faced grin.
Honestly and truly?
Sure. Cross my cock and hope to die.
I'll be back.
She turned toward her dormitory hut, intent on retrieving her revolver. There was only a small light bulb in the room where Ryan was being held. But Semyonian was preoccupied with his sexual needs, as well as the worry about the way parts of the mine were becoming unworkable. The Russian stood in the doorway, staring at the chained man on the floor.
You displayed courage, I am informed.
Ryan didn't answer him.
But also stupidity. The one is set against the other, so you are both lucky and unlucky. You understand me?
No, Major Commissar, I don't.
Once again, there was the faint stirring of the layers of thick gray dust in the far-off rooms of distant memory.
If you had not been stupid, I might have allowed you to go free. So you are unlucky. But there is the, how do you say it, the other side of the coin. To resist the guard would have resulted in severe unhappiness and a cessation of breath. So you are also lucky. Tomorrow you will work again. You agree with that?
Ryan didn't answer.
You do not disagree.
Ryan was alone once more.
Well, at least the Triple Stoop bastard still didn't recognize me.
Dean was in one of the cleanest beds he'd ever seen, with relatively white sheets and three blankets. A small fire smoldered in the grate, though the inside of the windows was still coated with a rainbow sheet of ice. The old woman had left after giving him a bowl of thick fish stew with sliced mushrooms, all heavily salted. The boy had devoured it to the last drop, wiping the inside of the dish with the remains of the three generous slices of fresh bread. There had been a small shot glass of colorless homebrew, which brought tears to the boy's eyes. The woman had whispered that it had been sent, especially on the orders of Major Commissar Grigory Zemyanin himself. Now Dean was dozing, lying on his back, one arm thrown up across his face, covering the worst of his visible injuries. The door opened slowly, the movement disturbing the sleeping boy. He squinted out, seeing the pockmarked face of the squat Russian peering at him. Dean started to sit up, but the man waved a gloved hand at him.
Lie still and rest, young Master Good. I have just come to...
There was a voice from outside the room, a sect man muttering something to Zemyanin. Dean could only catch a few words. The Major Commissar nodded impatiently, throwing the boy a snatched smile.
Ah, duty calls, and I needs must go.
Dean sat up, blinking from under the black patch over his left eye. For a moment, the Russian stared at him, his face blank of emotion. His mouth opened, as though he were on the verge of saying something. Then Zemyanin turned quickly away. One of the girls lay unconscious in a corner of the bedroom. She had ragged blonde hair, though most of it was missing from the right side of her scaly infected scalp. Blood oozed from between her thighs, and there were savage bite marks across her belly and breasts. A dark bruise covered most of her right cheek, and blood seeped from nose and mouth. At her side was a piece of ragged black material that had once been her blouse. Her friend was kneeling on the bed,